Okay, today's daf is Erev and daf Yud Gimel. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Lamer Tam Lerechon. Rav Mishnah Beishamai held that a Mavri needs a Lechi and a Korah. Beis Hillel only requires either a Lechi or a Korah. And Mishnah continued that a certain student, who we will later identify as Rav Meir, once told Rabbi Akiva that Rabbi Shmuel holds that both Beishamai and Beis Hillel agree that a Mavri, it's less than 4 amos wide, only needs a Lechi or a Korah. Rabbi Akiva did not accept this and held that Machlokes Beisham Beis Hillel applies even to a Mavoi that's less than 4 amos wide. Rabbi Akiva Hainu Tanakama. So Gemara asks, what's the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Tanakama in their understanding of Machlokes Beisham Beis Hillel? Gemara answers that one of them would hold that a Mavoi narrower than 4 Tvachim wouldn't need any fixing, while the other would hold it still requires either a Lechi or a Korah. Even though Rabbi Akiva rejected the idea that Beisham Beis Hillel agree about a Mavoi that's less than 4 amos wide, he said, Halacha Ka'oso Talmud, that we paskin like the student who understood otherwise, in order l'chadid ba'atalmidim, to keep his students sharp. It's also possible that he didn't say halacha kos Talmud, but nirin itmar. The Talmud said something that's logical, but it's not accepted the halacha. Since Rabbi Meir was a student of both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, whenever a Talmud Echad, says something to Rabbi Akiva in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, it's always a reference to Rabbi Meir. We know that Rabbi Meir was a student of both from the fact that he describes how he told Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel that he would use kankantum in the ink that he used to write his Sifrei Torah as an effective way of preventing the letters from becoming erased. And one of them approved, and the other one of his Rebbeim did not approve, but there are two versions about who's the one that approved and who's the one that didn't approve. Two parenthetical points that emerge from the discussion are that in the second version, Rabbi Shmuel emphasized that his sofer's work is melech shamayim, the work of heaven, and a single mistake can destroy the world. The second thing is that Rabbi Meir first learned from Rabbi Akiva, but had to leave because he didn't determine how to paskin when learning from Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva explained both sides of an argument really well. So he went to Rabbi Shmuel to learn halachos, and later returned to learn by Rabbi Akiva. Once we mentioned using kankantum, the Gemara tells us two machlokos, which we conclude are unrelated to each other, about Parsha Sota. First, even though kankantum clearly can't be used in writing the Megillah Sota because it will need to be erased, there is a machlokos, and once kankantum is there, you can't erase it, there is a machlokos whether a mayor holds that kankantum can be used in the psukim of Parsha Sota when they're written in the Sefer Torah. Rabbi Yehuda says the altar can be used because we can't use the Sefer Torah as a Megillah Sota anyway, so you might as well make it unerasable. But Rabbi Yaakov says the Olzik and Kantum cannot be used since the Pesukim from the Torah may be used for a Megillah Sota. Second, Machlokas, the Tanakhama holds that a Megillah Sota written for one Sota cannot be used for another woman, while Rav Achi Bar Yoshia holds that it can be used for another woman. For instance, if the first woman said to Tamea and she confessed, so then you don't use that Megillah Sota, can use it for somebody else, is the Machlokas. Even though a get written for one woman cannot be used for another, since a get needs Ksiva L'shma, the writing has to be done for the sake of that woman, Rav Achi holds that a Megillah Sota can, because it only needs asiya lishma, the erasing to be done for the sake of that particular woman. The asiya of Parsha Sota is not the writing of it, it is the erasing of it. The Gemara goes on to say four great things about the godless of Reb Meir. Rameir is unequaled in his generation, but we don't pass on like him because he can convince us of wrong halachos because his logic is so compelling. Second, lo Rameir Shmo, his name wasn't really Meir, but Nohorai. We only call him Rameir because Meir ain't chacham balachi, light up the eyes of the chachamim with halacha. Third, Amar Rebbe, Haydim Chadan Mechavroi, the Chazisel Rameir Machorei. The Rebbe attributed his sharpness to having seen Rameir from the back, and assumes he'd be even sharper had he seen Rameir from the front. Fourth, his student Sumchus can give 48 explanations why things are Tamer Tahar. The Gemara mentions a possible Kal V'chomer suggested by Ravina to make a Sheretz Tahar, but rejects the Kal V'chomer. Tosos discusses what's the kunz of making a Sheretz Tahar. It's just wrong to say that a Sheretz is Tahar. Shalosh Shanim Nechlik Beisham Beis Hillel. Beisham Beis Hillel argued for 3 years until the Baskol declared Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, both opinions are the word of Hashem, but Halacha K'Beis Hillel. The Halacha has to follow the Beis Hillel. The reason we pass like Beis Hillel is that they were easygoing and always mentioned Beis Shammai first, not only in halachic arguments, but even when telling a story about Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel traveling together. We learn from here that people who humble themselves are ultimately uplifted, and people who look for honor don't find it. One machlokas that they had for 2.5 years was whether it's better for a person to have been born or never, or better for him to never have been born. One day they voted and decided, Noach l'adam shalo nivra yoser mishenivra. We'd be better off not having been born, but once we're born, yefashish b'masav or yemashmish b'masav, we should search or examine our actions and be very careful how to behave.